always just the same. I'm gonna praise him. Just look what the Lord has done.
Look what he's done.
Look what the Lord has done. Just look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me before time. I'm gonna praise his name. Just the same. Come on and praise him. Just look what the Lord has done.
Look what he's done.
Look what the Lord has done.
Praise him.
Just look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me before time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done.
Hallelujah.
Just look what the Lord has done.
He's done so much.
Yes,
he healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me before time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. Now come on and praise him. Just look what the Lord has done.
Let's sing A Sanctuary, 145.
Amen.
Key of G.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. It is you, Lord, who came and saved. Sanctuary, so pure and holy.
sanctuary for you.
Go ahead, sis.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to thank God for being here. And I was sitting there reflecting on some of the messages that we just went over, and I was just thankful for the one that my husband preached and saying that how faith is standard issue and how the different things that we have are standard issue. And I'm just thankful for that because I haven't been into the military, but you know, we just recently purchased a car, and there's like certain things that are standard that come on cars that are just standard. And I was even thinking about like my mom, because she's had her car for 8 years, and she was like, that, you know, my car had this, and did you know my car had this, and I didn't even know it. And it was like, you know, her ride would have been so much easier had she didn't known it was just standard. And I was like, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for telling me that my faith is just standard. I just got to know that it's there to be able to take the benefits, and that my peace is standard, you know, and that I don't have to struggle. Because, you know, like these people in the denominations that are out there in the world, like that's not standard. Like their car didn't come with that.
Right.
You know, like they've got to upgrade and pay for all that
that's
stuff.
Right.
Or they feel like they got to work towards just getting the things that just come standard to us. And
yeah.
I'm just so thankful that for the rest and the peace and the
Amen.
And just the overall. And I'm so thankful.
Amen.
I was just thinking about the benefits of even having my husband, because last night we were just scrolling through church messages, and I was like, I can roll over and ask him right here, you know. And I just like, I got all the answers, you know. I'm still so thankful for even the church nights. But even like, I don't ask a lot of questions because my husband knows I'm texting them to him. Like, he's sitting here on the front row and I'm texting him the questions because I'm too ashamed to raise my hand and ask him. But I know this is a safe place, you know.
Amen.
I know this is a place that I can ask those questions. But I'm also thankful that I have the answers right next to me.
Amen. 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 You know, when I was young, they didn't have the automatic transmission. That was an option.
Nope.
Air conditioning was an option. You know, in times past, they didn't have what we got now.
Oh, my.
We got it all.
Yes.
We got it all. It's loaded, as they say with cars. We got everything that there is. You know, you see some of these new trucks, and I don't know what else they could put on them.
Man.
You know? Really? I mean, it's got everything.
Yes.
Self-drive. And
yeah.
Plug in your tools in the back, just like you're plugging in the house.
Right.
And, you know, all these things I don't want to miss.
Right.
I want to take for granted. You know, because we've got everything that we have needed. We've got every answer the devil could ever come up question, you know. And you know, he's provided everything.
Yes, he has.
You know, he's provided everything down through the ages.
Oh, yeah.
All that they needed. But now we know it. Now we see it. Now we see that we've got everything that we need.
Right.
And, you know, we're more than conquerors. We are top of the food chain.
Oh, yes.
We're doing pretty good. So I'm thankful for this. You know, nothing,
Amen.
Nothing the devil can throw at me. No, life can throw at me. I want to give the devil credit for it. Nothing life can throw at me is going to throw me off this word of God.
That's right.
You know, I'm strong. It's solid, secure, signed, sealed, and delivered, as
That's
Brother
right.
Childers used to say. I'm thankful for it. I'm praising for it. Amen.
Let me get the announcements out of the way real quick. Remember Pastor Morris, he's traveling. So just keep him in your prayers. Then we got Easter coming up. So it's posted back there what van you're in and everything. And Brothers Fellowship, April 27th. Sisters Fellowship is June 1st. And if you haven't signed up for the mowing in the back, make sure you do that. So go ahead.
I didn't come with a speech, but I just want to get up and thank God and praise
Amen.
God for being able to walk in these doors, you know, one more time, and to be here and hear this word. You know, I think it's last Wednesday night, Brother Jay was saying something about putting on a shield of armor. It's not for you, it's for everybody else around you. And I thought that, I hadn't thought of it that way before, you know, it just makes sense. It's for all of us, you know, because we owe God so
Amen.
Much thanks. We can't thank Him enough. And I'm just so happy to be under this word and to grow in this word and be a sister for you guys. Couldn't
Amen.
Be in a better place.
Amen. Amen. I'm just wanted to testify real quick and just give thanks. You know, I had a couple of things change up on me this week. It's been a pretty eventful week for me. I had a tooth pulled, my wisdom tooth, and that thing was just growing out of control. They call it erupted. So it got erupted out of my gums, and I had them pull it out, and it feels terrible. But I'm so glad that we're layered here,
Amen.
That Brother Skyler is just so awesome to, you know, take the leading. So I'm just like, hey, Lord. And some things changed up on my on one of my jobs on Friday, because when I had my tooth pulled, I didn't think I was gonna feel that bad, but it was really rough, you know, to the point where I couldn't go to work or anything, talk to people much. So I was like, how am I gonna get all these things done this weekend for my client? So I'm like, Lord, you got to fix this. You got to do it. So my client ends up calling me not even an hour after I'm thinking about all these things. And she said, Isaiah, we're going to have to pick up on Monday because a tree fell in my driveway and we're cutting it. So I'm like, Lord, look at you. Just you'll make a tree fall down. You'll cancel out a whole city. You'll shut events down just for me. And that kind of should make you think about, you know, what kind of person you really are to God. You know, he will shut things down. And everybody will just have to, you know, pretty much fall victim and deal with it, you know. But I'm just so happy that about the way he does things, about the way he takes care of me. And it's all because I believe this word. Amen. It's all because I put him first. It's all because that this is my desire. And I want to push this message forward. I want to do this. He didn't make me come here this morning. I came here willingly. I came here and with anticipation. I came here with an expectation that he's going to do the impossible for me. He knows what I love more than I even know my own self. So I just love what I get here, and I just wanted to bless you guys with that. Amen.
You can be seated. Go ahead, bro.
It's hard to come in this place and not testify and give God thanks. I mean, it is. This testimony has already just turned me up already. And, you know, listen to Sister Courtney about the faith. You know, that's true. But you know what? The faith, you got to believe it.
Yeah.
You got to apply it, because it ain't no doing no good if you just say you got faith. Well, you have to apply the faith.
Yes.
I mean, you have to move. And I'm just telling Sway about her knee surgery. You know, she's, you know, going through it like anybody. I mean, you have a knee surgery. It's tough. It's rough.
Oh, yeah.
But I told her, just hold on to God. God will take care of you. He will supply your needs. He will. I mean, I told her, I said, thank God that you have a man here that's going to help you out. I mean, I'm not saying in a boastful way. I'm just saying that thank God that I can help her out to get her through. Because God's been good to this body.
Amen.
He has. I mean, there's no reason why we should keep our head down. I mean, Jay preached a beautiful message on Wednesday.
Oh, yes.
He did. I was sitting like, Lord, you are good to us. You are. I mean, we get so many blessings in this place. It just makes you just think, like, how are we just – so just, I don't know what to say. It's like words. Like, we're just blessed. We are blessed. I mean – and Jay said it best. He said, why is your life a wreck? Why is it always up and down when you get this word here? Why is it? You got to tell yourself, why are you always up and down like this, like a roller coaster? You're all over the place.
Right.
You say you love God, and then the day down the dumps, you hate God. I mean, it's all over the place. Like, what? You got to tell yourself, shake yourself. I shake myself all the time, too. Like, Lord, you've been good to me.
Amen.
You have. All these trials we're going through is for a reason. You'll get through it. But you got to hold onto the faith and stop being like a roller coaster, man. There's no need for that. I talk to myself too, like, Kevin, you got to pick yourself up. It's going to be all right. This things you're going through this world, it ain't going to matter, hit a beans. It's not.
Come on.
We're going to a bigger place. We're going to we want to meet with God. I mean, and if we can't shake ourselves, I don't know what else to say. I just don't. I'm just telling God, help me. If anybody help me, help my faith even get much stronger.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
God has been good. And his word is true. It's true, Lord.
Yes.
It's true. And it's amazing that God picked this bride to get the job done. I mean, I just thought about it, even in the Bible, when Jay was talking about the different people, we're stronger than them. You believe it or not, we're stronger. This bride is stronger than them. And I'm not saying in a boastful way. Like, God picked us to get the job done.
Right.
I mean, that's amazing. Right. That's amazing to me. It seemed like he picked us.
Yeah.
When you keep thinking you're a ragtag team, nah, we ain't raggedy around here. It ain't no raggedy about me. And I ain't raggedy. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not raggedy. I'm God's here.
Yes.
And I'm holding on to that. I just want to thank God for that. I just thank God for being here.
You're right.
Amen.
Good to be back.
Yes.
You know, I was out a little bit sick, a little under the weather, but I tell you, it is exciting. I love hearing about the armor of God.
Amen, yes. Bro.
I love to hear about that because, you know, when you talk about the armor of God, or just talk about the military, you know, you enlisted. It wasn't, they didn't send you there. You signed up. You went through basic training. There was a push. There was a desire to serve because you want to serve your country. You want to serve this body.
Sure.
And when you hold on to that armor, when you hold on to the armor, you know, it's, I love that because, you know, you can't have some of it. You have to have, I love that. You have to have all of it. You can't come in here and listen to some of the word. You have to take every bit of the word. It's not a matter of like, well, I'll just come and pick and choose what I want to hear. You have to come in. But the thing though is you're built. You're built to take every word. You were uniquely designed to eat everything.
That's right.
When you put on that armor, you're not putting on just the helmet. Right. You're not putting on just the breastplate. Oh, no. Fully girded.
Yeah, fully.
I am fully persuaded. I love that because when you come in here, you can't help. Like Brother Kevin, I love that because, you know, I was guilty saying, like, oh, we're just a ragtag. I ain't ragtag. No, you ain't going to talk. I like that because you shake it off because you come in here and I was sick. But you know what? I was excited. I was like, well, I don't have a fever. I've been long enough out where I am not contagious. I'm going to get to the house of God.
That's right.
You know, there's a balance. I love the balance because we can go one way and be like, you know, no matter what, I'll come in here with my sickness and get everyone else sick. And the other one is like, well, maybe I should stay home. And, you know, I love this balance because, you know what, I have such a balance in this day and age. And I'm not sitting here. I'm not torn. I'm not sitting up here so high to where I'm so spiritual that I can't be touched.
Right.
Lord, I love the fact that you can come in here and you can hear the word of God.
Yeah.
That you can sit here and you can be like, you know, that's nothing but the truth.
Yes.
I love hearing my brothers talk. I love hearing my sisters talk. I love knowing. I woke up this morning. I was like, Lord, I need to hear from you today.
Yes.
I need to hear from you today. I was almost, I came in here expecting because I don't want to come in here and just be like, oh, well, I'll just sit there and I'll wait for someone else to talk. Like, I want to throw a little salt in.
That's right.
I want to throw a little water in. I want to do a little stir. I want to move a little bit because it's been so stagnant out there in the world that when I come in here, this is my one place where I can lay I can lay that proverbial armor down.
Yeah.
I can come in here and this be amongst believers and talk and be like, you know what? We have real conditions. We have real worries.
Right.
We're human.
Amen.
But you know what? We're more than conquerors.
That's right.
You're not described by your consequences or your circumstances. And don't let Satan try to distract you from the truth. And that's all he wants to do nowadays is he wants to make sure he isolates you. And I see it far too often that you'll just isolate yourself. You're like, well, they don't love me. Well, they think this about me. Yes. You know what? 100% the opposite way.
Yes.
If he's making you battle in the mind, the first place you should be here is here. Amen. Brother Moore has always said, my number one prescription is get to the house.
Right.
If you can get to the house, if you can walk through those doors, I guarantee you, you'll get your problems answered, your questions answered.
Amen.
All things will be made right. That's a promise.
Yeah.
That's a promise that you can stand on every time.
Yes.
So when I know when I'm more or less, I'm just going to say struggling. I don't want to use that word. When I'm expressing something, I know that prescription says get to the house. And I'm a firm believer in prescriptions. I believe that they're prescribed for a reason. There's a reason for it. There's an indication. There's an indication for it. And that diagnosis says, get to the house. So if I have an opportunity to get to this house, I will not help but be here. But so thank God for revelation.
Yes.
I say thank God that you revealed it to me. Thank God for an understanding.
Amen.
I'm saying I really love the Lord. Praise God for Brother Praveen. He's back. He made it back safely.
Amen.
We missed you, buddy. Amen. And praise God to see him. It was good to see him this morning. I know Brother Jeremiah went and got him from the airport, but it's not a service that went by that we not have missed him. So we appreciate him being back and appreciate what he's doing. And I know the body's going to step in and help him that much more. Just another quick announcement. After service today, we'll be doing a song practice with the voices. We'll get you in and out pretty quick, but we'll be doing practice snap. But I want to sing, I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord.
You don't know what he's done for me. He's gave me the victory.
Oh, yes.
I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord.
Amen.
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 I was already on that page. That's so funny.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm just glad to be here for one thing. Glad to know the word. Know it's in me, and I am the word.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't like the name ragtag team. How about misfits?
Come on.
We're misfit this world. We do not belong here. It's not our home. So we're misfit.
Amen.
I like that term better.
Like that.
Yeah.
So I just want to let that came on my mind. I said I don't like to hear ragtag because ragtag don't sound good, but misfits do.
Yeah.
Because we're not part of this world, so we're misfit here.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen. I praise God.
Yes.
You know, I have a prescription, and I take it twice a day.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes a difference in my life.
Amen.
It makes a difference in my natural life.
Yes.
Then I have a prescription to come here every opportunity I have. Because like you say, Seth, we go through things. You know, we're human.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, and, you know, we'd be lying to say we don't go through something.
Yeah.
And we'd be lying to say sometimes Satan doesn't knock us around, but we have a prescription.
That's right.
And we don't stay down.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Satan will come at us, and he'll try something. And, you know, we let him.
Sure.
We let him.
That's the only way.
Because we know what he's doing.
Right.
He never, you know, he might trick you for a second.
Just a
the
second.
Chicken might come up behind you for a second. But we know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And we have a prescription for that.
Yeah.
This word is the answer to everything.
Amen.
There's nothing
this
word doesn't answer.
That's right.
And like you said, greater than Solomon is here.
That's right.
But greater than Solomon is here.
Amen.
You know, we talked about that and we'll say like Solomon's something else. But Solomon's here.
Amen.
We have the answers to everything. You know, and if I don't have the answer for my home, I have a pastor,
yes.
And I can get the answer from him.
Cool.
But one way or the other, I will always have an answer.
Yeah.
This word is something else, and God takes care of me and knocks the trees down because of who I am.
Right.
I'm his wife.
Yeah.
I'm his bride. You know how special your wife is to you.
Yeah.
God loves me.
Yes.
God put his seed in me.
Yeah.
God woke me up. And I praise him for that.
Amen.
And you know, we say it all the time, and it means a lot, but I and my Father are one.
Yes.
And you got to understand that. I'm not a Trinity.
Right.
I'm not a Trinity. I'm one. And I praise God for that revelation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
This word is so true. I thank God for every message. And, you know, it's wonderful to be a part of something that is like a oneness.
Yeah.
There's a true oneness here.
Amen.
Amen.
Everyone has said something that I've thought about, said. As I was walking out the door, I was telling my husband, I said, you know, we're only human. You know, I thank God for this word because there's nothing like having a strong man in your life.
Right.
Spiritually,
Amen.
Naturally, there's nothing like it.
Amen.
You know, you can put your foot on it and know it's not going to move. You know, and I thank God for this word does not move.
Yes.
I thank God
absolutely.
I can come in here and I can, you know, like everyone has said, we're all going through something. You know, we're all going to push something back. I believe we're more than conquerors.
That's right. Amen.
I have nothing that I cannot,
come
that's
on.
Weighing me down, that I cannot push back.
Amen.
But I push back with the word.
Right.
I thank
right,
God
always.
For that because when you're not here, oh my God, I was trying to get to church. Something hit this and something hit that. I missed Wednesday. I didn't get here Sunday because of work. But I got to hear the word through the internet. And that just lets me go around where I work and just praise God and be happy.
Yes.
And I thank God that I have
Amen.
Something, and it's this word. And I'm repetitive in that way because
Amen.
This word is a sure thing.
Yes.
This word has never failed me. You know,
Amen.
I can look at something and say, okay, my brakes might fail. My dog is aging. But through it all, I have something that's going to help me with grief.
Yeah.
Because you love your pets, you know. And I let my people look and say, Lily's still here? Lily is still here. And I'm just like, you know, she's 15 years old, and I see her aging, and I said, baby, me too. I'm aging too. Come on, we can do this. You know, but that's something that I love. Brother Branham said that pet's going to be there, what I love and what loves me.
Yeah, that's right.
I can look forward to seeing it on the other side.
Amen.
I thank God that, you know, there's something that I don't ever want to take for granted, and that is when I call anyone in this church and I say, can you get my back on something that maybe I've already tried to work something out. But I can look at different things in my life and say, I have a reliable brother, if it's a realtor. I have a repair man. I have a pastor who gives me his word. And a ministry, a body that gets my back. And for me, I like a sure thing. I'm just a low-risk kind of girl. I don't like a lot of risk. But I thank God that this word has not been risky.
No.
It's been a sure
Amen.
Thing. And for that, I'm so thankful. God bless.
Yes.
Amen. Be the last one.
Well, we overcome by the blood and the power of our testimony.
That's right. That's right.
So I'm going to go ahead and testify. Today's St. Patrick's Day. Before I got here, I'd be six drinks in by now and just getting warmed up.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's a testimony of sorts. Because that's a total life change.
That's right.
Overcome.
Brought me through.
And we don't talk about the blood as much as I think we shouldn't here. It's an important thing.
It's everything.
Yeah.
I think we pretty much got testimonies down. Because he said, you know, they overcome by the power of their testimony. Your testimony helps me overcome. Mine might help you overcome.
That's right.
Right.
So that's a body plural thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the only reason we're a body is the blood.
Amen.
That's right. That blood is what unites us.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
What makes us family.
Right. Yes. Amen. That's exactly right. Let's
sing Through It All, 231.
Amen. Through it all.
We'll get him up. So it's key of F.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
What a rest.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Now I've been seen a million faces. There were times that I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. That's why I sing through it all, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I thank God for the mountains. Yes, so I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He's brought me
me through. Because if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do.
Sing it again.
Yes, through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've had many tears and sorrows. Yes, I've had many tears and sorrows, and I've had questions for tomorrow, and there's been times I didn't know right from wrong. God's been there the whole time. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Amen. Yes, through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Last verse, one more time. Thank God for the mountains. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I never know what faith in God could do. Thank you. Yes, through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. One more time. Yes, through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust and depend upon His Word. Dear God, stand here and sing that song, Lord, we just want to say thank You. Oh, Lord, You've been with us. You said You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You've been right there through it all. You've provided everything we've needed. Given us everything to get through the trial. You've always made a way of an escape. Oh, we're more than conquerors, more than overcomers, Lord, because You paid the price, Lord, and given us Your Word and given us Your armor. Thank You for Your love, mercy, and grace. Lord, thank You for this day, Lord, another day to wake up with our right mind and ability to come and fellowship and praise You and worship You and thank You. And as we approach the preaching, Lord, we ask that You have Your way. You know every need, every question, every situation, every little thing, Lord, that You want to say today to give us a little bit more information to help us along the way. Have Your way. Be with Your bride around the world, Lord. I don't see Sister Keene. I ask that You be with her and touch her. Be with Pastor Moore and family, Lord, as they're traveling. And be with us here, Lord, and
touch the needs here, Lord. Still believing for Sister Moore's eyes. Move on her behalf. Believing for my wife. Lord, touch her body. And it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Help me. Give me what I need, Lord, as you always have. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. All things are possible, is right, brother. Lock it. Good to be back. No place I'd rather be but home, where my real family is. And thank God for the Word. Thank God for everything He's done. Thank God that Jesus paid it all. And glad to have Brother Praveen back. Now, I promise him, I'm not going to make him talk, but Praveen, we at least need to see your face, if you don't mind poking in there. And he asked me to make an announcement on his behalf, and so I'm going to do that. So, Praveen, we still want to see your face, so. Brother Praveen got married. And her name is Savarna, and Lord willing, tonight we'll have him put a picture of the wedding up for us at the service tonight, and we can see Praveen's wife. So congratulations to Brother Praveen. I picked him up yesterday, and I noticed this wedding ring on his finger, and I'm thinking, what's that? But before I could ask him, he told me, he said, I got married. I said, well, congratulations. And so good for him, and happy for him. So, but we're glad to have him back as well. And Brother Moore's going to be upset he missed that. But he'll have to catch up when he gets back with that one. But he told me, Brother Moore knew, I guess, because he said he told Pastor Moore, so of course. But it's good to have Brother Praveen back. We miss him, and we got some work to do with him and for him, too. So we'll get take care of those things. So Easter's going to be here before you know it in a couple weeks, roughly. And, you know, that Saturday, you want to get here a little early, 8:30, 8:45, because they're leaving at 9. So just get here so you guys can hit the road. I'll be coming to meet you from a different direction. So I will not be here to help, but you got Brother Jim and Brother Doug going to lead some things there a little bit. And so listen to their guidance, and they'll take care of you. And I have a lot of trust in them, and appreciate those brothers. Let's keep that. And then just a couple things that are new that weren't up there, why Skyler wouldn't announce them, is not this Wednesday, but the following, there'll be another brother. I think Brother Stephen Kressel, as long as things go well, Brother Covey will be bringing from the Bluffton Church. And then May 5th, which is a Sunday, we're actually going to travel to that church and fellowship with them on Sunday, May 5th, so keep those things in your mind. That'll be a good time. We'll get to see. Well, I've been there a few times, but you'll get to see where the preachers are coming from. So it'll be a good time. So mark your calendar so you can go and don't miss it if you can't, don't have to. Enjoyed the message on Wednesday. And, you know, it was interesting. I had a lot of time at the airport and plane, so I listened to the service at the airport and got excited at the airport. And then I had another 4 hours, so I did a lot of studying at the airport. I thought, I'm just going to take advantage of the time. And as James was preaching, I was taking notes. And, of course, that's how it works around here. And between what Brother James preached on Wednesday and talking about Greater Than Solomon's here and had standard issue and not being up and down, and Brother Moore talking about a dress for service, God has been good to us. And he will have his way with today's service, as he always does. You know, there's always something about those mechanics and dynamics. I always think about that in so many situations. It applies across the board. You know, even in a natural life, you can do everything right and have all the mechanics, but if you have no dynamics around it, it's just a dead bunch of works almost, you know. And that's how I feel about preaching sometimes. You know, you feel led of God, you get your notes together, but unless the dynamics show up, so to speak, unless God himself shows up, Brother Deskins, it ain't going to do you much good. Then all you're going to do is get up here and read Scripture and iterate Scripture, and you could do that at home. But what we're here for is to let God talk to us. Let God come riding out on that word and quicken it to us, right? to make it real, to give us some more information, so to speak, another revelation that God quickens to us to make us free, to lift us up, to remind us that we can make it, to tell us who we are, to let us remember that, yeah, Satan's real, but we got the answer to every one of his questions, and he's going to try to bow down. You know, Satan's a pest. He's still around, people, and he's a pest. It's just what we do is we got the word that enables us to answer his questions and send him on his way when we choose to. Sometimes we choose to play with him a little bit. And we walk down a road with him, and it leads us to things. We sometimes pay a price for that. But the good thing is, even after I pay a price, I still got an answer to whip up on the devil and send him on his way, you know. And we're more than conquerors and more than able to defeat that devil. And so we want God to, you know, in one sense, you know, we say show up, but you got to realize that's an expression, because he's come in here with every one of us as we've walked in. But it's like Brother Bram says, you know what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting on his leadership. I'm waiting on his guidance. I'm waiting on him to say which way he wants to go. See, God knows the needs. He knows what people have questions about. He knows what's going to help you along your way. People come in here with real issues. People come in here with real questions. I come in here with real issues. I come in here with real questions. Lord, talk to me today. Help me along the way. Remind me who I am. Remind me that it's time to get out of here. Remind me that get everything off my plate. Remind me that I'm more than ready to go. Remind me of who I am. Stir up my mind by the way of remembrance. Remind me that the seals have been opened. Remind me that we know what the seven thunders are. Remind me that we got more than enough to get the job done. Remind me that I'm not even waiting on a new revelation to get out of here. Remind me that I got everything inside of me that I have need of to get out of here. That's what we want. Yes. I don't want, like Paul said, I'm not here with excellency of speech. I don't have good grammar. I wish I did, actually. There's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes I always covet people that can talk and write better than I can. It's always been a weakness of mine. But that's not what this is about. This is about God talking to us. Using somebody with a ninth grade education called William Branham or Earl Childers and coming down and talking to you with just common sense. Talking with this common language so that a little kid can understand it. Get in those books and read and say, but he said one thing here and he said another thing here. And just so crazy enough to say, wait a minute, I got to get this straight. This doesn't run. It doesn't make sense. I know you all say he's a prophet. I believe he is. But this has got to work somehow. God, you got to help me out or I don't see how this works. And sure enough, here come God. That's what we want. We want God to show up on the scene. Say, let me talk to you. Let me reveal it to you. Let me deal with you. And he went in that little room, so to speak, and he come out another man. So let me tell you, there's been a progressive revelation. He's had two jobs to do. He did Malachi 4 perfectly. Now we're in Revelation 10. When God shows up, you get a clear understanding. Before then, you don't have a clue. Before then, you're confused. Before then, you got questions. But then here comes Jesus with all the answers, saying, this is how it works. Amen. Oh, that's what we got on the scene this morning. Yes. And we thank God for it. Amen. So turn with me to the 2 Corinthians. Amen. We're going to go to chapter 13. And I'm going to start with verse 1 and read down just a little bit. And then we'll continue preaching. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. May God add the blessing to the reading of his word. My title this morning is Examine Yourselves. Now, obviously, with what we've been talking about, you can kind of see where I get that title because, you know, when Brother Moore was preaching last Sunday, you know, he got to talking about inspection day a little bit. How he would, in his old job, he'd have to go into properties and inspect them and see how they're going. And that's kind of where I got this thought a little bit because, of course, I'm using Paul's term, examine yourselves. It's the same thing. And because, you know, what's good about it, though, is we know how to examine ourselves and prove ourselves. And Paul, you know, said in another place, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it's meant to make sure you ask yourself, am I one of his? Do I really love God? Do I really believe this message? It's meant to make you ask that question. But I also will flip that over and say, as much as scary as that may sound to you, what's so great about it is when you find the answer to that, it's not that hard. It's pretty simple to understand if you're one of them, Brother James. Now, you need to know if you are for yourself. You know more than anybody else knows if you really believe this message. You know better than anybody else, truthfully, if you really do, amen, every word of God. You know if this is first place in your life. You know if it's third place, fifth place. You know that better than anybody else knows that. So you got to examine yourself. And you know, in the natural, that's what they do with big investments. You're going to buy a house. You know what you do? You get a full home inspection. Because you're getting ready to pay a lot of money for something. You're making a big investment. And you don't want to buy something that's messed up. You want to make sure things about it are right. And if it isn't right, you want them fixed. That's what they do in the natural. They'll do it on cars. They'll do it on houses. They'll do it on many things, you know, before you make that purchase. Well, this is greater than all that. This is the greatest investment you can ever have in your life. This thing's perfect. This thing's spotless. This thing has nothing wrong with it. This is a matter about it. It's about you checking yourself because there's nothing wrong with this. You need to make sure you're right. And this is the greatest investment that you can have in your life. Now examine yourselves. What's the first thing that Jesus said? One of his first messages, you must be born again. Yes, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Yes, you have to be born again. Amen. Why? Because you came the wrong way the first time. Amen. We were supposed to come by the spoken word. Yeah. Think about it in the Garden of Eden for a minute. How was Adam created? By the spoken word. How was the earth made? By the spoken word. That's how we were supposed to be created. Amen. But that's not how we came. We came through mom and dad having a relationship. So that Jesus says you must be born again. Amen. That's the first way to examine yourself. Amen. Have you been born again? So let's get into this a little bit. I've got to slow down a little bit. We're going to go through some things that we already know. But sometimes it's good, Brother Deskin. Because maybe this is the first service you're paying attention. And you need to know how to get born again. You need to know how to change, get your life changed. You need to know how to make sure you're ready for the journey. And what's so good about it is Jesus, God's already seen if you're going to be ready or not. We're going to get to that in a little bit too. But you must be born again. Turn with me to Acts, the second chapter. This is the title is Examine Yourselves. And Jesus said in St. John, the third chapter, you must be born again. And Peter said, how are you born again? By the word of God. Yes. Being born again by the incorruptible seed. Nothing wrong with the pure word of God. Yes. You get born again because God preaches the word to you and he quickens it to you and you recognize it and agree with it and it changes your life. Acts, the second chapter. This is what I love about it. I told you it gets simple when you start understanding what it means to examine yourself. Oh, it might sound scary at first. But when you get an understanding of what makes you ready, or you get an understanding how you can be born again, you start rejoicing a little bit. You're thinking, you know, on one side of it, you can just say this, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. He's the one that gave his life for us. For our downfall, our shortcoming. He's the one that paid the price to redeem us back. There's nothing we could do to earn ourselves back. There's nothing we could do to create holiness within ourselves.
It took Jesus to show up and pay the price for each and every one of us. We got to recognize we need him. We needed him to pay that price. Yeah, he spilt the blood. But remember, really, the blood just went back to the earth. What you need is the life out of that blood. You need the life out of that blood so that that life can come back up on you and you be born again. That blood was God's own blood. It has God's life in it. And that blood spilt and came to the earth and dropped on the earth just like it was supposed to sanctify the earth. But what was so important for you and me, that blood had to be spilled. But that life in the blood is what was really mattered. Because that's the life that could come back upon you and me. But you got to understand, Jesus paid it all. Acts, the second chapter, verse 38. Now listen to this simple prescription. Listen to this simple instruction. This ain't hard, but not many people make it here. Some people get justified. See, I got to get it. I got to be able to slow down and get my story. But people get justified. They get sanctified. They say they accept Christ, so to speak. They'll try to change their lives on their own, and God will deal with them a little bit. But you got to go all the way to where God can kill out that old nature and give you a new nature. You got to be born again, Brother James. You need that fire, that baptism, Holy Spirit fire to get on the inside of you and change your life. It's not good enough just to come to church. A lot of people go to church. It ain't good enough just to live good. A lot of people live good. But you need God to come talk to you personally, to deal with you personally, to reveal himself to you personally. Then you know you've been born again. Acts, the second chapter, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's simple. That's not hard. That's a promise. That's written in the Bible. And the Bible tells me man's word's a lie, but there's not one word of God that'll ever fail. You repent and get baptized. You will. You, it won't be a maybe. You will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What's repent mean? It just means turn around. It means to say, I'm wrong. I'm not worthy. I need Jesus. I need Jesus to pay it all for me. I'm sinful by nature. I need a sacrifice. I need a substitute. I need somebody to take my place. Repent. It ain't even an outward bunch of words. It is an internal little conversation between you and God. God, I need you. I'm not worthy on my own. I'm not good enough on my own. I needed Christ to pay the price for me. Just repent and get baptized. And it ain't the water that cleans you up. That's just an outward expression. But the prescription said, be baptized, get repent. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, you will get born again. Because you'll hear the word of God, and the word of God will get quickened to you, and God will change that nature on the inside of you. Amen. You say, what do you mean, Jeremiah? Paul said one time, he said, it's not I that lives, but Christ that lives inside of me. He said, put off the old man and put on the new man. What he's trying to tell you is that the first way you come, you're sinful. Romans, the third chapter, says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. In Revelation, the fifth chapter, nobody was worthy to look into the book. You need a substitute. You needed a new life. You need to be born again. And so what happens is God will quicken his word to you. And I want to slow down and drive that home because people have got the new birth in so many things. The new birth isn't because I come to church. Now, when you're born again, you will come to church because this is where you hear the word. But coming to church just by itself is not the new birth. Some people say, well, I had a sensation come over my body. That happens when you get a revelation, but that's not the new birth. Some people say, well, I live good and I'm holy and I've cleaned up my life. That's a good thing, but that's not the new birth. The new birth, Peter said in 1 Peter, the 23rd verse, been born again by the Word of God. What happens is God preaches His Word to you. He speaks to you, and you hear that Word, and you understand that Word, and that is the new birth. That is God taking the old man, giving him away, and giving you Himself, His own life. Amen. Then you can be like Paul. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Amen. That's what happens. And if you're going to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Amen. Examine yourself. Right. Am I born again? Am I ready for the journey? Because here's the good thing. If you're born again, your side's sealed and delivered. You're going to make it. You're going to go. All the rest is added benefits and things that come along the way. But that new birth is all it takes. One understanding, one revelation, one clear understanding. God's dealt with you and you've got a changed life. And you're ready for the journey. Oh, that's how simple this thing is. Oh, what happens? You establish a relationship with God and you serve Him more and other things start to happen. You start getting those sensations because you love the Word. You start wanting to get up and testify because you love the Word. You get up and want to sing because you know how good God's been to you. You want to serve Him. You want to do things for Him. Lord, what can I do? That's all secondary to that new birth. Is that you're born again, your nature changed. And it's God's own life. And you want to do God-like things. So you say, I'm going to church. I want to be where the body is. I want to do what God wants me to do. It's a natural change. But it happens because you've been born again. Amen. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Amen, Lord. I want to make some points this morning. All right. And I want to slow down and make them. Second Timothy, the third chapter. Now I'm just going to read verse 1 all the way down to verse 8. Verse 8 is really where I want to get to. But, you know, when you hear the first verses, you'll remember them quite well. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We shouldn't be those things. We should not be those things. Just so you know, examine yourself. You should not be those things. Now, I'm not making that the evidence of the Holy Ghost, but when you get born again, God starts dealing with you, you should be thankful. Amen. You should obey your parents. You shouldn't be a blasphemer. And in your nature on the inside of you, it's not at all. You might do some things on the outside, but this thing's changed you and working from the inside out. Thou natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Amen. Having a form of godliness. Think about that for a minute. That's right. That many people wouldn't know any better. They see somebody going to church, looking good, feeding their neighbors. All those things look good, a form of godliness. Right. Yet they don't have a new birth. They're denying the truth. Right. We're going to get to the word test here in a little bit, Brother Dustin. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. God bless those people you meet sometimes that feel like they know so much about the Bible and always looking for the next new thing, but never get to it. I'm happy with what we got. You know, and I like how we say it. Yeah, we're going to get more understanding. It's going to get brighter to us. It's going to get clearer to us. But it's not going to be a new revelation. It's not going to be another church age. There's not going to come another messenger. We got the message. We got the book. We have the revelation. I'm not waiting on something new. All God's doing with me now is taking what He's already brought and making it brighter to me and clearing it up for me so I can see clearly who I am. But I ain't waiting on a new message. Now, here we go. I just want to say this because I want to make some points. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Now, think about what Paul said in the other scripture. Make sure you're not a reprobate. and we're not a reprobate. Examine yourself. But he said, these men, form of godliness, truth breakers, heady, high-minded, but denying the truth, they're reprobates. Now, Jannes and Jambres, in case you don't know, was back there in the days of Moses. And we know the story well. God sent Moses down to Egypt to lead the people of Israel out and take them towards the promised land and get them out of Egypt. And God sent him down there and said, take this rod and the staff in your hands and use it and start bringing signs and wonders. And here's the thing. He'd lay down that stick, so to speak, and say, bring forth frogs. And Jannes and Jambres was right there and could do the same thing. He'd do another wonder, and Jannes and Jambres was right there doing the same thing. They could mimic the signs. They could reproduce the wonders. Because they had faith too, and they could work their magic, so to speak. And my point in bringing this up is, you got to realize, that's why it's so important to realize, signs and wonders and all the other outward expressions is not the true evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're a true child of God, and you've been born again, signs and wonders will show up. Those will be real works of God as further proof that He is with you and things like that. But those by themselves, I don't care if you go to the church and somebody gets bit by a snake and they live. That's not a proof that they've been born again. All the outward expressions can be mimicked. But the thing that Jannes and Jambres could not do is they couldn't apply that token and avoid that death angel and bring about the life and death angel like Moses could. They couldn't go all the way to get the life of God. They could do the signs and wonders, but they couldn't bring forth that token that was required to preserve life. They couldn't get there, Brother James. They could do signs and wonders. You say, what is the token? Exodus, the 12th chapter. When Moses got to the end of the road, God come down and said, I'm going to smite the firstborn throughout all the land of Egypt. He said, now what you got to do, Moses, tell my people to slaughter a lamb and apply the blood across the doorpost, and everybody get in that house. And as long as I see that token, because that blood that you apply will be a token unto you, I won't kill the firstborn. But if I don't see that token, you're as good as dead. Pharaoh's own son that applied to. The problem is the real believer couldn't get all the way, or the unbeliever couldn't get all the way to the token. But that's what we as believers got to do. Examine yourself. The token must be applied. You say, now you throw another new term, it's the same thing. The token is just the Holy Ghost. The token is the new birth. The token is a new life in your very own life. It's the same thing I've been talking about. You just need a new nature inside of you. You need to examine yourself, because the only thing God's going to pass over is those that have the token, the new birth, the Holy Ghost. Representation. That's how this thing works. Many people can go to church. Many people can produce signs and wonders. Many people can look good. But you need a change on the inside of the inside. You need a new birth. And that only comes by God coming down and revealing Himself to you personally. You know, Brother Branham progressed in how he explained that new birth. He'd talk about climbing up a ladder even. And adding your godliness, temperance, and temperance to this and this. And don't fall down or He'll seal you in. But when he got to the crisis, mystery of God revealed, Brother James, he said, what is a new birth, Brother Branham? It's a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to you, revealed to you. Oh, make it as easy. I told you it's not hard when you're not talking about examining yourself. All you got to realize is how easy it is to be born again. If you hear my words this morning and they make sense to you and you believe them, and God's revealed them to you, you can stand here and say, I've examined myself, and I've been born again, and I'm ready for the journey. Oh, it's that easy. Oh, that gets me excited. Oh, I may not be able to produce the signs and wonders as well as somebody else can, but I can believe the Word. Oh, I might not live as good as somebody else can, but I can believe the Word. I've been born again. I got a goal to live good. I got a goal to see signs and wonders. But if you never see them exactly like you see them in Brother Destin's life, Trust you me. I have accepted this word. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I can punctuate every word with an amen. I've been born again. I've examined myself, and I am ready for the journey. Oh, you don't get it twisted. Don't get it backwards. Oh, we're going to bring some good living here in a little bit, but that ain't the evidence. That's secondary. If you never see it as good as you want to see out of me, trust me, I punctuate every word of God with an amen. Amen. He's revealed himself to me, Brother Deskin. He's told me who I am. He came down to me and spoke his word to me and quickened that word to me, and I have a personal relationship with him, and I've been born again. I've expressed an outward work. I got baptized. I repented. And I got the gift of the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm examined up. Inspection day showed up. He looked at me and said, I found you perfect. I find you spotless. I find you sinless. I see that token. I'm going to pass over you. I ain't got nothing to kill there. Those that accept this eternal life that Jesus brought in St. John 3:16, what did it say? You pass from death unto life. Pass from judgment. Pass from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are walking in Christ Jesus. That's what happens to you when you've been born again. Your nature changes. Before I move on, I just want to say, you get born again because you hear the Word of God. Now, you know, you can hear a lot of Word of God. Now, let me throw this in here. I could talk to you about Noah building an ark today. And there's a lot of good story in it. But we're not here building an ark today. That word today to tell you to build an ark, the way that Noah built an ark, now, we can spiritually represent the ark, but I'm talking about building the physical, natural ark. Wouldn't do a thing for you today. Telling you like Moses, take a physical rod, a staff, and go down and talk to Pharaoh would do you no good today. You know, what's your point, Jeremiah? You got to know what God's word is telling you to do today. Right now. He's a present tense God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like he was working in Noah, and just like he was working in Moses, and just like he was working in Daniel, he's got things he's doing right now in him through his word. And that God comes down and he speaks that word to you and talks to you, and you understand it. I just want to make it easy. It makes sense to you. Something on the inside, he says, that sounds like the truth. That's something I can identify with. I believe that. That's a quickened word to you. You clearly understand the word of God. And that is the new birth. It's that easy. It's that simple. And what God does when that happens is he kills out the old life and puts his own life in your life. And that's why you'll hear some people testify, I and my Father are one. Because they recognize that it's no longer they that are living, but it's Christ Jesus living on the inside of them. That's what happens when you're born again. Your life is done away with, and the life of God's inside of you. And now with every heartbeat and every breath, you're manifesting the life of God. Amen. You say, Jeremiah, you said examine yourself. All you need to know is, did I get a new birth? Except you be born again, you will not see the kingdom. But like I told you at the beginning, when you realize how easy the new birth is, it'll make you shout for joy. Now, I'm going to talk about a few things to follow after the new birth, but before I get there, just rejoice for a little bit with me. We'll worry about the secondary things here in a minute. Just rejoice in the fact that God revealed his word to you, that he made himself known to you, that you got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that makes you worthy. You accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That he paid the price for you. That he was a substitute for you. And now you have a relationship with him. You have a new life. Not your life, but God's life inside of you. And that makes you ready for the journey. That makes you perfect, spotless, sinless, perfect bride of Jesus Christ. Rejoice in knowing that. Because you can examine yourself and say, I know I'm of the faith. I've been born again. I'm a child of God. I'm a one that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. I've accepted the part. Oh, that's good. That's too simple for most people. You're exactly right. Most people, and we do all, see, you got to realize all these things we're talking about, it's not that we don't believe in them. We just know they're not the evidence of the new birth. I believe today after service that somebody feels like coming up this altar and saying, Lord, I want to change before I leave today. Deal with me. Help me. Pray for me. Pray with me. Come on up to the altar after service and we'll take care of that. I'll believe right with you because I know God's real. He's here and he can change you before you walk out of here today. He can help you along your way. I believe in every bit of that. But what's happened is people have substituted that for the real new birth. And so the new birth's too simple because they think, well, I got to come up here and for 10 minutes I got to just give everything to God. They make it, you have to work yourself into it. Or I haven't felt some sensation. But what's so great about this comes without sensation. It's just God clearly revealing his word to you. That's the new birth. And if you have that, you got what you need. You've examined yourself. You found yourself ready. You got the ticket in your hand. Oh, if this word I'm preaching you makes sense to you, you should jump up and down, so to speak, inside of you right now. I got what I need. I got the train ticket. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to where I belong. Oh, and I turn you on. See, now that I have this understanding, now you see me getting excited. But when I got born again, it didn't even come without it jumping up and down. I just started hearing the word and I understood it. And it took me a little bit of time before I even got up excited, Brother Deskins. But after a while, James, I kept hearing more word after word after word. And it just started taking me over. And I said, hold my mule for a minute. I can't stand here anymore. I can't just sit on this pew. I got a little bit of somewhat to say. God's been too good to me. And the more I hear this word, the more I got excited about it. But that was secondary to the fact that I got a revelation first. Yeah. Now, you know, you can go to churches. Let me just tell you. They can be excited before a revelation. That's why I call it secondary. They can mimic being excited. They can run the aisles, speak in tongues, jump up and down, and actually be having a real good time in God. Because the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That same rain that waters the flowers out there is the same rain that waters the weeds out there. The weeds and the flowers grow just the same. But a weed can never be a flower. You got to be born a flower. Or you will never be one. You got to have the original in you. And that's the difference. They might be jumping up and down, but I know why I'm jumping up and down. He's revealed to me I'm a real flower. He's revealed to me I'm an eagle. He's revealed to me I'm a child of God. And that's what brings this stimulation that you see. Now, this thing will change your life. Now, I told you let's rejoice on the first part. Now, let me make a statement. If you never do everything exactly right, the way the Bible says, that's just called being human. And that's going to be a natural part of it. Read your Old Testament. Every one of those men and some women back there, none of them, if you read the story, had everything perfect. David, man after God's own heart, had a man murdered. That's awful, so to speak. Let's just be honest. We hear about that. We don't feel too good about it. That's most people's top 10 list. You know, you got Noah, who built an ark to the saving of his family. Drunk. Naked. Right in front of his daughter. Not too good. Now, I ain't preaching badness. I'm just trying to help you. Even with this new birth, even as a servant of God, you're going to have issues. What is what I'll just call them today. But that's still not the evidence. The evidence is what I've already told you. Have you been born again? Do you have a clear understanding? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, I also want to add, though, this thing will change your life. Because what happens is your life is done away with, and you get God's own life in you. You will, by nature, start doing things God-like. These signs shall follow them that believe. Examine yourself this morning. Ask yourself, do I truly love God? Is he first place in my life? Now, I always like to remind us, what James does for God and what I do for God might not be the same thing. Don't look at somebody else. Look at God's word and have a personal relationship with God's word. And has God dealt with you and has it changed your life? If you never want to come to church, something's wrong. Did you know what the Bible says? In the beginning was the Word. That's St. John 1 and 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you're born again, you have God in you, you naturally have a love for the Word. Amen. Where the carcass is, the Word, there will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. If you have no love for the Word, don't care if you get around the Word, something's wrong. Examine yourself. Check yourself. This thing ought to change you. It ought to change your ambitions. It ought to change your goals. It ought to change your direction. Amen. Now remember what I told you the evidence of the Holy Ghost is. We're going to get to the Word test. But I'm allowed to tell you, this thing should change you. Your ambitions should change. How many of us could sit up here and testify, I wouldn't be living in Ohio if it wasn't for this Word? Not that everybody, some people love Ohio, that's okay. But some people would stand up and say, if it wasn't for this Word, I wouldn't be in Ohio. Right? Your ambitions change. Your goals change. You wouldn't be working here. You wouldn't make your house here. Fairborn's not the greatest city in the world. I'm sorry to break it to you. Hamilton's not great, but it's better than Fairborn. That's where I'm from, by the way. People have different opinions, though. I'm just having a little fun now. My point being, though, is let's talk about it. Let's get real. This ain't Beaver Creek. This ain't Oakwood. This ain't Centerville. This ain't Indian Hills. This ain't Dublin, Ohio. I could go on. I give you the nice cities in Ohio. This ain't that. But you're here for a reason. Because you love the Word. You built your life around here. Now, Brother Childersworth told you it's the best place he's ever been. But he come from Kentucky. There's a reason for that. This is the best place he ever been. But let's be just getting real with you. My ambitions changed. I have a career here all because of the Word. I could work in Florida. I could work in Arizona. I could work in Utah. But I work here because I want to be where the Word of God is. This thing should change your life, your desires, your ambitions, your goals. Examine yourself. If it hasn't done that to you, check yourself. Yeah. Say, Lord, I want a deeper relationship with you. Right. I've been born again, but I want a deeper relationship with you. Amen. This thing will start dealing with you. You'll have plans, and they'll get changed by God. Amen. That's good. Because you know why? At the end of the day, when God's leading you and guiding you, it's just the best thing for you. Amen. When you can yield to that, it's right where you want to be. Fairborn is the place for me. Yes. It may not be the place for everybody. Right. Now I'm going to talk good about it. This is the best place on earth. Amen. There ain't nobody nowhere else I'd rather be. Right. This is where the Word of God is. Yes. This is where my family is. Yes. This is where my real family is. Yes. This is where God talks to me from. And I know God talks to people across the world, not just in Fairborn, Ohio, but just for me. This is where I found the Word. Yes. This is where I found and built my life around it. I eat this. I need this to survive. Lord, I need you. I need you to survive. Yes. That's what this Word should do for you. It should change your very life. Amen. Now, I want to take that further. We got more time here. It's only 11:15, so... You guys aren't hungry yet. This is good when you get in it like this, though. You get out of the way and the anointing's down. You forget about earth for a little bit. You forget about the problems you got to face. You just step on into this eternity, so to speak, for a minute. Step into this anointing that God's here. And one day we're going to walk ourselves right out of here. We'll realize that we don't got to stay here, that we can get out of here. Now, Brother Branham says, and this is questions and answers on the sills. He said, the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust the same. And the same cocklebur standing in the wheat field there can be as happy and shout with the same water that fell upon them as it both sent to the rain. But by their fruits you shall know them. That little old cocklebur can stand up there just as happy and shouting as can be, just as full of the same rain that the wheat is. There you are. So they can shout, speak with tongues, and impersonate everything they want to in that day and be called workers of iniquity. As I told you a while ago, listen to what I say. Listen close. Look back down. Examine yourself with the Word and see where you're at. Brother Branham
Brother Branham always pointed us to the word test. Now I want to read a quote, and I want to talk about that for a minute. Brother Branham, in Spoken Words of Original Seed, how can you tell them? Give them the word test. How can you know it? Speak the word. See what they say about it. If they don't believe the word, they have no seed germ in them. Listen to this. They are of the evil one and deceive you. As the first bride was deceived and the second bride was deceived, they're deceivers of the third bride by hybriding the word or trying to. God never placed signs ahead of his word. Amen. That's a scorcher, Brother Branham says. God never placed signs ahead of his word. They were added for proof of the word. They're secondary. They show up after the fact. But the word is first. To prove it, Elijah said to the woman, bake me a cake first, then watch the miracle happen. Come to the word first, and then watch the miracle. The seed word itself is what the Holy Ghost energizes.
Amen.
Now, Brother Branham said, give it the word test. Why did he say that? He said it because of everything I've already been saying to you this morning. The devil and his people can mimic any outward sign that a true believer can. But a real believer is the one that when God gives the word, will punctuate every word with an amen. A real believer doesn't take some of the word and get rid of it. I believe part of it, but I don't like that piece of it. A real believer is able to say amen to every word of God. Amen. Examine yourself. Can you punctuate every word of God with an amen?
Amen.
That's the true test.
Yeah.
He said God never placed the signs and the wonders ahead of the word.
Amen.
The word that I speak to you, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. How can you say you got God and you didn't deny the word, which is God? That does not add up. But if you got God's own life in you, you will punctuate every word of God with an amen.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean you're going to understand every word that I'm preaching today. You might have questions that you leave here today. That's not what I'm talking about. But when God's talking to you and he's revealing the word to you is what I'm talking about, you hear that word and you say, that sounds nothing but the truth to me. I believe that. Even if you don't even live up to it and manifest every bit of it, you can sit there and say, I believe that word with every fiber of my being. That's what a real believer does. That's what how you examine yourself. That's the true evidence of the Holy Ghost. Is being able to punctuate every word of God with an amen.
Yeah.
It's not shouting, it's not dancing, it's not living good. All those things come along the way, but it's being able to punctuate every word of God with an amen.
Amen.
That's how you examine yourself. See, that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
Is we know how to examine ourselves.
Yeah.
God's taught us we're made up of three.
Yeah.
We have three things about us. You learn in grade school, you got this body. We call it the flesh.
Yeah.
And we know that in grade school, it touches, it feels, it hears, yeah. It sees, smells, tastes, those inlets.
Right.
And you know what? You can be born again, and when God's dealing with you and you're feeling good about it, in those same inlets, it'll sound good to you.
Right.
It'll feel good to you.
Yeah.
You'll get anointed.
Sure.
But let me explain yourself to you so you know how to examine yourself.
Yeah.
That same taste will like things that the Bible says you shouldn't like.
Right.
The same eyes will see things that the Bible says you shouldn't see.
Right.
That body can do both.
Right.
Be used by God or be given over to the devil, so to speak.
Right.
That's not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And you got to know that. That's just what your body can do. Now, greater is he that's in you, and that in you works out and expresses himself through your body.
Yeah.
But don't kid yourself. This carnal nature, it still likes some things.
Amen.
Of the world. Then we all know we have this mind up here, so to speak, the spirit realm that we call it. Carnal mind that's an enemy of God. In natural life, we have a conscience. Every one of us have a conscience. Sometimes it gets seared in our lives, and we don't worry about a thing, but we have a conscience. We have affection, love for people. We have a memory. We remember things. We have a reasoning. Those are all part of who we are. And guess what? Let's talk about it again. Both can be used by either one. I can have good memories about God. I can be thinking about this word and reasoning really well. I can imagine what heaven's going to be like. I have imagination. I can have good things with that. I can have sensations, and that's what sends out emotions and good emotions around the word of God. Every bit of that.
But don't kid yourself. You're going to have memories that take you to places that are bad. You can have imaginations of thinking about things that take you away from the Word of God. We know that's to be true. And what I love about it is this is what helps us to be able to examine ourselves properly. Because if you don't know how to rightly divide this, you would examine yourself wrong. Because you can be born again and still have bad memories. You can be born again and still have bad imaginations. You can be born again and still have things your eyes see that you wish you didn't see. You can have all that. Now, you can also be born again and use all those things for the good, but I just want you to be able to examine yourself, right? Just because you're born again, you still got two outside rims that can yield to the devil. And that's what happens. But here's what's so great about it. If you're truly born again, what happens, that third rim, that nature, that soul, that inside of the inside, that's been changed. Been changed from the old life to the new life. Yes. And that new life is God's own life. And guess what? It can only do is God things. So despite what my flesh might do, despite what I might allow my spirit realm to do, that's not going to change what's on the inside of me. I am a child of God, and you got to know that because you punctuate every word with an amen. You know that because you know you've been born again, that even when the outside doesn't line up that you wish did, you still can stand on the fact you've been a born-again child of God. Amen. You got to know how to examine yourself right. I like to throw that in here. Now, like I told you, God will change your life. You have new nature in you. It'll start manifesting through the mind. Start manifesting through the flesh. Things you used to like to do, you stop doing. All because you've been born again. That should happen in your life. But I know the tricks of the devil. You'll have your first mess up and he'll say, see, you don't got it. You got to put the devil in his place. Say, that's just the outside realm. I've been a changed being. I'm born again. I know who I am. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm spotless. I'm sinless. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. You got to be able to examine yourself correctly. Or you'll get it wrong. Every single time. Now, I forgot to put this one in my notes, but I'm glad that they have the table in the app now. Because when I'm, because if I'm missing it, I can get it here real quick. But this is Brother Branham and the Masterpiece. On the interview a few moments ago, I was speaking to a person in the room that's present now. But Brother Branham, I have so many things that I know that's wrong. And Brother Branham says, a godly little woman. But she knew she had things that's wrong. So she could examine herself. But listen to what Brother Branham said. I said, but look, sister, you don't look at yourself. It's just what your desire is and what you try to do. And if you really love the Lord, you try to serve him with all your heart, then all your mistakes is hid in the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's what it's for. Jesus really did come, spill his blood, and paid the price, and covered our sins. Thank God he did. Because even as a born-again child up here this morning, I still have things that are wrong. I have a desire that God would take some things away from me just like Paul did. And some things I just live with and don't condemn myself with. I understand all of the above and how it all works. But the devil, don't let him lie to you. Just because you got some problems, that don't change who you are on the inside. That desire is that nature in you. And that nature devil has no access to. It's the real you, and it's God's own life, and that's who you really are. And you can send the devil on his way every time that he tries to put condemnation on you, because you know that. That's where the real desire lays. You got to know how to examine yourself properly and how to examine yourself correctly. Now, many times we've heard, I got many things wrong, and we say, I'm going to just do anything I want then. That ain't what Brother Branham said either. Notice he said she had a desire to serve God. You should have a desire to serve God. Now, there's things God allows in our lives. I get all that. But like I said, examine yourself. If you don't love God, something's wrong. This thing should be first place. If you don't love the Word, that's really the best way to say it. If you don't love the Word, examine yourself. Now, I want to put a nice little scripture in here. I think you guys will enjoy. You'll remember this, Matthew, the 22nd chapter. I still got some points to make, so bear with me here. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And Jesus answered in verse 1, and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king,
which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, I tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They didn't love the word of God. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king had heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways. Thank God he did this. Came to us Gentiles that didn't even really care about God and had all kinds of gods. And as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now that guy showed up to the wedding. He got examined. And he didn't have the right garment on, Brother James. And Brother Branham explained, and you could Google this and find it, in the old Eastern traditions when they would have a wedding, the king or the head of the house, you know, he would invite guests, 30, 50 guests. And what he would do, Brother Branham said, is he would furnish the outfits for every guest, because the guest could be rich or poor, and he didn't want anybody to see any difference between the rich and poor. All the same, come to the wedding. Now, Brother Branham, as I read, he did use that a little bit. He said, don't matter if you're rich, you're poor, where you come from, what nationality you are, if you love God, you're invited. Thank God for all that. But the point being is that king furnished that outfit for you. And if you didn't have one on, that means you weren't invited. And you see, you ought to be invited, and he's got to furnish that wedding garment for you, so to speak, or you're not going. And I got a quote up here. If I get to it, I'll read it. But Brother Branham, he talked about the Romans 8. I think it starts in verse 29. All that he foreknew. Let's tie that in there. If you're not foreknown of God, if he did not look down before time began and knew everything that was going to happen before it happened, and he didn't see you want to serve him, so to speak, didn't see you amen in the word of God, then he did not predestinate you. But if he could foreknow you and saw that you wanted to serve him, you got the personal relationship with him, he predestinated you. And all that he predestinated, he called. And all he called, he justified. And all he justified, he's glorified. He has dressed you up right. You're invited. Examine yourself if you're one of the ones that were foreknown of God. And we know how we do. It's the same evidence I gave you this morning. If you can punctuate every word of God with an amen, yeah. If he's revealed himself to you, you can sit here this morning and say, I'm one of the predestinated ones. Yeah. I've been foreknown of God, and he's going to justify me, which he already has. He's going to glorify me. I'm called. I'm invited to the wedding supper. Amen. Examine yourself this morning. If you're foreknown of God, he will see you all the way through. Many people try to serve God. Many people come around church. Many people are at church this morning. But they don't believe all the word of God. They haven't recognized their dad's message. They don't have a personal relationship. They don't have on the wedding garment. But here you are this morning, of one of a many member bride body that's standing here and understand the word of God. I speak to you this morning. I see you this morning. Amen. You're raising your hand, recognizing who you are. You know you've got the invitation. You've been invited. Your name's on the register. It's been transferred before the foundation of the world. Oh, that's an exciting thing to know.
That's what the quote says. I'll just paraphrase it. Brother Branham said, and I think it was in the marriage supper, is the message. He said, what are you worried about? He said, your name's already on the register. You're already invited. A seat saved for you, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing. Oh, that's good to know this morning. That before I could do good or evil, Brother James, before I was even here to mess anything up, God already saw me accept him, and he foreknew me, and he predestinated me, and he's called me, and he's justified me, and I'm going to get a glorified body one day. Oh, what a day that'll be. I know who I am. I understand the word of God. I'm worthy to be there. I won't be kicked out. I'm on my way. I'm sealed in. I'm on the inside of the ark. Now I'll talk about the spiritual of the ark. I'm on the inside of the ark now. I'm on the outside. I ain't trying to knock to get in. I'm sealed in. I can't get out, and they can't get in. But I'm already in here. I'm safe from the water. I'm safe from the storms. I'm safe from the condemnation. I'm safe from the tribulation period. I am going home. Amen. I've been invited. I was one of eight, so to speak. You got to know how to get off tight. So I'm just glad there was eight there, seven here. Because eighth day ain't really a different than you got to go to all seven up here. But there was eight back there. I'm just using that to say I'm one of them. Right. I'm one of them ones that was invited. Thank God I'm invited. Amen. That man got examined. He didn't have on the wedding garment. He might have had signs and wonders. He might have went to church every Sunday. He might have shouted and danced in the spirit. He might have done a lot of good things. But he didn't get the wedding garment, Brother James, Jim. He needed to go all the way in the Word. Amen. Get born again. Don't stop at justification, sanctification. Go all the way and let that new life get inside of you. That's how you know you're fully ready. That's how you know you're dressed. That's how you know you're invited. Judas was justified and sanctified. But he didn't make it to the upper room. He didn't go all the way. He healed with the disciples. Cast out devils with the disciples, walked with Jesus, no doubt was a friend, friendly to Jesus. Jesus was friendly to him, did a lot of the same things the disciples did, but you know what he didn't make it? Didn't make it to the upper room. That's where the upper room, what you say, what's that mean? That's where they went up to Pentecost and the Holy Spirit came down and filled them all. That's the same thing I'm trying to tell you this morning. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need born again in your life. You need a changed nature. That's what I'm trying to get to across to you. That's how you examine yourself. Give yourself the word test. And if you can punctuate every word with amen, you know you're ready for the journey. Apply the token. I'm going to skip over that this morning. Brother Ram just says it's a token or perish. He said you got to apply it. It wasn't even good enough to hear. You should say, apply the blood and believe it. You actually had to apply that blood back in those days. You know, I kind of bring that up here today. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? This has got to be a real change. This ain't just sitting around the Word and enjoying being around the Word. This is a real relationship between you and God. It's our true new birth. I ain't making it more than a new birth, but I just don't want you confused what the new birth is. It ain't playing church. It's being coming to the church. It's getting a real change in your life. You got to apply that token, getting a real new birth. But when you apply that token, as I said, that death angel can come and it will go right over you. Right. You know, that, and they tried to do a movie about that death angel. It showed that death angel flying from house to house, inspecting. Token there or not? Token's there, let me go to the next house. Token's not there, I'm going to kill this one. The one to the next house, token's there. That's what it did. But here's what great, if you're underneath that token, you're outside, might have been scared, Daddy, are you sure he said that? Right. And you're the firstborn son sitting in there, you're like, oh God, are you, Daddy, are you sure he said to put the blood? That's what he said, son, just get under this token. Yes. And if you got under that token, you can be rest assured, God, come down and inspect it, and they were safe. Amen. Right. Oh, I love that story of Rahab. Oh, that Rahab story just, it makes me smile every time I hear about it. Yes. Here's a woman. Let's talk about her for a minute. Yeah. I don't know about you, I like talking about Rahab. She wasn't of a great reputation. To be honest with you, I hate to call her. She's a harlot. And you know what that means. I'm going to just say that. She wasn't a good reputation. But she had heard. She heard the word. And she believed that word. And here comes those spies. We've heard about you all. I know God's with you. I might be a harlot, but I know God's with you. Yeah. Everywhere you go, you destroy cities, you take over cities, you take over kingdoms. Give me some protection, because I believe God's with you.
Yeah.
She believed the word.
Yeah.
Now, even though she believed that word, you know what they told her? Said, take this little thread, and you need to hang it out.
Yeah.
This is going to show if you really believe the word or not.
Yeah.
And she did. She took that thread, she put it on the window, and God before then said, everywhere you go, we ain't leaving nothing, we ain't keeping nothing, we're going to destroy it all, I'm giving the land to you. And those spies said, you just hang that little thread out there, Rahab, and your house will stand. Then here comes God. He was inspecting. He was examining. And every house that didn't have that thread, they all came down. Read the story. They all fell down. But here a little woman, a harlot, believed God, applied that token, and God inspected that house and said, because you believe my word, applied that token, your house is standing despite everybody else has fallen. And everybody that was in the house with Rahab, you know what they were? They were safe right inside there with her. Everybody in that house, while everything else around them was shaking and trembling and crumbling, they were in that house with believing God's word, applying that token, safe as could be. Oh, that gets me excited. I ain't got time, but apply it to your loved ones. You got this token, apply it over your loved ones like Rahab did. Get them in like she got them in. Everybody in that house was saved. God came down and examined, and there was only one house that stood, Brother James. Nobody else had it. Nobody else believed. Nobody else had the token, the new birth, the real new birth. The token is just the Holy Ghost. It's just Brother Bram changed the terms because everybody had so many definitions of what the Holy Ghost was. But it's still just a new birth going all the way. And type, that's what Rahab did. She got the new birth, so to speak. And she was safe. Well, where are we at this morning? We're safe. We got what we need. We're the ones he's coming back for. Now, go with me to Revelation, the 19th chapter. I've been talking a lot about you. But let me talk about what you're really a bigger part of, something bigger. You're part of a many-membered bride body. Now, to save time, Luke 18 or 17, Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? When he comes, he's inspecting some faith, Brother Deskin. He's expecting a group to have faith. That's how he's looking for. He's not looking for a flirter, somebody that likes a little bit of church in and out, somebody that wants some of the word, but not all the word. He's looking for somebody to go all the way with him, take all of his word, have a relationship with him. That's what he's looking for. That's the examination. That's the bride he's looking for, one that's not dirtied up by false doctrine and things. Revelation of the 19th chapter. I'm going to jump down to verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Oh, that gets me excited. The wife has made herself ready. This is birth pains. Brother Bram says the wife has made herself ready at the end of the age. How does she make herself ready to becoming his wife? What does she? What kind of garment she have on? His own word. She was dressed in his righteousness. Is that right? See? How did the bride make herself ready? The word. Now, there's a lot of different ways we've explained that over the years. She had to come through seven steps. The word had to go in and bring forth many fruit. But really, she had to come through justification. The word. Sanctification. The word, restoration of the gifts, truthfully the word. And now where are we at? The full word of God is on the scene. What had to happen? He had to first restore what? The word of God. And we've been preached this over the years, save a little bit of time. Well, Malachi 4 has already come. The prophet's come. He's restored the word back the way Paul had it, and the way the apostles had it, the way the forefathers. We wouldn't have been ready without that, Brother James. We had to have the word restored. But it's been restored. And then what did he do? He come down and married it. Revelation 10. He said, let me give you the open book. Let me give you my heart, so to speak. Let me give you my mind. And that's where we are this morning. And where is the bride at? She's not found wanting. She's not found lacking. She's not needing sanctified or justified or the seed's got to go down to bring forth much fruit. We've been through all that. We've talked about this many times. We've come through the process. We're standing on our feet. We're married. We're ready. We know who we are. At any moment, the rapture could come. Oh, we've examined ourselves. That's why we had a prophet come and examine us. Look for a bride for Isaac. Look for Rebecca. And Rebecca was found the way she was supposed to be. We're ready, little bride. We're not lacking a hand. Not lacking an arm. We're perfect. And we're dressed in His Word. The story of Esther comes to mind. All those handmaidens back there, they put on all this extra stuff to try to impress the king. And all Esther did was put on what was a supplied her. So I don't need anything extra. What He gave me is enough. And that's what this little bride's done. I don't need the 700 plus. I don't need some crazy doctrine. No restoration plus. Not all these third coming, whatever. I just want what He's given me. Give me the Word. Give me the standard issue. Give me what He gives you, the standard issue. I don't need it. I'm not waiting on something else. That's why I was saying that earlier. We're ready, bride. That's why we're talking about a rapture. We're not talking like we're trying to get ready for a rapture. We talk like we're in a rapture. We are ready in every, we're finished and completed in every way but one, like we say. I just need this body change. I'm going to meet Him in the air. But don't think we're waiting on a bunch of extra stuff. We're ready. I didn't even bring this, but it came to my mind. I saw it and I was studying this week. Brother Branham talked about that woman where that rich man promised he was coming back. Said she could get ready. He said he's coming back for me. And everybody around her would make fun of her. He ain't coming back for you. He's a rich man. You're a poor lady. He promised he's coming back. You know what she did? She had faith. She believed the Word. Oh, believe what He said. I think it all comes back to the way we start off, is you believe what He said. And she got ready for it. When that year showed up, she was ready to go. She said, He promised me He's coming back. In one sense, I wish I'd brought it because there's so many more details I'm leaving out, but she would get this ready, get that ready, it said, and her cousins and sisters would say, you silly thing, He ain't coming back for you. But He promised me. Personally. See, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. I ain't trying to fit in with this world. I ain't trying to be popular with you. He promised us He's coming back. This is what I'm about. I'm ready. Will He find faith? Yes, He has. We have it. The Word's been restored. Revelation 10's in plain sight. The book's been opened. We've eaten the book. We're prophesying again. We are ready. He said He's coming back. And Brother Tommy could always tell that story better than anybody. Here come that day, that year to that day, man. And then here, you start hearing that sound here, coming up the driveway. I told you He's coming. You didn't believe. You ain't the one He's coming for. But He's coming for me. I believe He's coming back. I believe He's already coming and He's coming. And I'm looking for a uniting in the air. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we all shall be changed. Oh, that's how much I believe. He promised it, Brother Deskins. Living saints, sleeping saints, together in one sense already, but we're going to actually see each other. Yes. And we're going to meet Him in the air. Amen. And you got to be ready. You got to be a believer to be part of this bride. You got to have the wedding garment on. And we have all the above. We have it as an individual. We've been born again. It connects us to a body. The body's come through the process. He didn't just come back for me alone. He came back for a many-member bride body. And she's on her feet. Ready for the go. Yeah. When we hear that, those wheels turn on that driveway, so to speak, Brother James, you won't see me go back to the house. You won't see me worried about my merchandise. You won't see me worried about my business. Oh, I'll plant my potatoes until that day. Oh, I got potatoes I'm planting because as long as I'm here, I got work to do. But the moment that I know He's here, in a twinkle of an eye, you'll see I won't care about my job. I won't care about my house. I won't care about my next meal. I won't care about my next pair of shoes. today is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
It's time to get out of here.
Amen.
And the bride has made herself ready. We're ready to go. And how do we do it? We've united with the Word. We are ready. Ezekiel 37 was my last scripture. And I'm just going to let you guys read that for yourself. It's the Valley of the Dry Bones. Come the man, Son of Man, who God comes to Ezekiel and said, can these dry bones live? Son of Man, thou knowest. Now, there's a lot of ways to preach Ezekiel 37, but if you read it, there was four steps there. There's sinew and skin and whatever, but the problem is you can get all that ready, but you still need breath. You still need life. You got to be born again. You can have the mechanics. A baby in a mother's womb is getting built. It's getting fed food. It's getting filled nutrients. It's developing in the way it needs to. But until it comes out and takes that first breath, it's not represented on its own. It's still part of mommy. But when you get that life breath into you, you become a living soul, so to speak, then you're ready. And Brother Branham used it, and I'll at least read the quote instead of the scripture, to say that we had to get to the Holy Ghost. But what's good about it is we're here. You know, one time he explained it, you know, this would throw a lot of people for loops. He said the Holy Ghost has made a way for he himself. Because, you know, the restoration of the gifts and stuff is the Holy Ghost and anointing them and everything. But what we're talking about today is that fourth man, that Son of Man, the God himself here. Full Word of God. Here's Brother Brandon, restoration of the bride tree, and then we're going to close. Prophesy, Son of Man. Can these bones live? Wish we had time. Same here, Brother Brandon. I got to write it down here, but I have to miss it. Prophesy, can these bones live? What's the four stages of that coming forth of that church? What's the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming forth? But the life only come, not when the side new skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's what come back, the fourth message of life. I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. The fourth light is to come that will bring forth the same signs. Watch, justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostals. What was it? Leaves clapped their hands. Joy, rejoicing. Pentecostal. What? The fourth was the Word itself. The Word made flesh. Fruits of the proof of the resurrection. Sign of Christ is finally, after justification had been planted, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out, and Christ has again centered himself at the cap of the pyramid. First line, justification, then sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then coming of the cap. What is it? The Holy Ghost bunch being honed out so that it can fit with the same kind of ministry he had when he went away. And when he comes back, it'll catch the whole thing in the rapture. Where the justified, sanctified, and baptized in the Holy Ghost, that pyramid will stand again. The house of God will live again. The tree of life growing again. You say, Jeremiah, what does all that mean? I'm just tying it right up here. Seed went in. We justify, sanctify, baptism, Holy Ghost, restoration of gifts. And then what happened? The caps don't come down. The Lord himself, life, we're sealed, built, complete, ready. We're standing on our feet now. I see what Brother Branham even, you know, another way to say sometimes the seven thunders or the third pool or all these terms we throw out, it's a life. It's a dynamics. It's a new birth. It's quickened. And that's what we got at the end time here. Body got built. Then he came down and married her. Now we're Mrs. Jesus Christ, speaking for ourselves, breathing, living, moving, active, knowing who we are. That's where we are. We're ready. You can examine the bride, and she has made herself ready. In the rapture, ready to go at any time, any moment. I thank God for this kind of understanding. I hope it helped you. God bless you. And come on, musicians. We'll do key of G, every praise. Let me find that here. Come back tonight. We'll fellowship some more. And we'll have a good time. Let me find this and we'll sing it and we'll get out of here. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing it again. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God. Give me the next line. One accord, every praise is to our God, God my Savior, God my Savior, God my healer, God my One more time. Come on out, voices. God.
Pretty quick, we got two songs we got to go over. The first song is Hold On.